This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه المنتجبين وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا الموءودة سئلت بأي ذنب قتلت صدق الله العلي العظيم. وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة إذا لم تستحي فافعل ما شئت أو كما قال صدقت يا رسول الله. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to our Creator, our Cherisher, our nourisher and our sustainer. We bear witness there's none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness we believe in all the prophets. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. Respected ulama, huffaz, elders, educators, learners, brothers and sisters, beloved mothers, respected youth, at this auspicious hour of Jummah, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace. May the peace, the mercy, and the blessings of Allah be upon each and every one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. As we are talking, Zionist forces are besieging the Ibn Sina Hospital in Jenin in the West Bank, having forced doctors and nurses into the emergency department and storming the hospital. They have been able to attack hospitals in Gaza for the past few weeks with impunity and without anyone stopping them. Among those who cared on the ground, and of course our du'as are always there, our voices of concern are expressed. But among those who cared and who were on the ground and wanted to make a practical difference in Gaza itself, a person responsible for implementing several South African emergency relief projects in Palestine, in Gaza in particular, attained Shahada yesterday morning. His name was Dr. Ahmed Abbasi, head of the Gift of the Givers, the operations in Gaza. He was asked by the people to leave Gaza, but he says no, due to the responsibility of ensuring that the little aid that people are getting, that the aid continues to reach those in dire need. And despite the insistence of his colleagues, he stayed on, and he was deliberately targeted as he came from a damaged mosque. Him and his brother were shot after Fajr on the way from Salah, home. As we stand here, as of this morning's figures, and Allah knows best, 11,000 but displaced, 223 homes have been destroyed, 42,000 units completely eradicated, 255 schools severely damaged or destroyed, 95 government buildings, 74 mosques and 3 churches and numerous other facilities. The facts are indisputable, my brothers and sisters. Palestinians live in an apartheid colonial settler state, one that has dispossessed them of their land for over 50 years, 60, 70 years, has forced them to live in dehumanizing conditions that are worse than an open-air prison. And they are also periodically bombed, besides what's happening right now. Persecuted for their religion and for their affiliation, devastated economically, refuse even the basics of water and electricity, trying to break them psychologically, terrorize them, periodically massacre them, and of course, full scale right now. And the Israeli army leaders speak of mowing the grass. You see, it's now 6 weeks. We now have statistics and cliches. So many were killed, so many were destroyed, so many were displaced. And we repeat slogans, stop the genocide, cease fire now, and the most despicable and ridiculous one, humanitarian pause. You know what humanitarian pause means? Stop for a while. It's like a person bullying somebody else, telling the bully, just hold on for a while. I just want to put a bandage on before you hit him further. Humanitarian pause. What an inhuman name to give to a humanitarian cause. Humanitarian pause means those who have been given their green light to bomb and to attack, I ask kindly, gently ask, please, man, just don't fight now till we put the bandage on and then you continue. And the world is silent. Gaza is crying. Who is there to ease the sorrow? Gaza is under attack. Who is there to fight back? Gaza is being destroyed. Who is there to defend? We remember, and we have repeated this before, and Allah will ask us, and Allah asks the question in the Quran. He asks a question in the Quran, a perpetual question. وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ What excuse do you have not to stand up for these people? الْمُسْتَضَعْفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ Oppressed people. Men, women, and children. Oppressed people. Allah is asking. He's not saying fight, don't fight. He's asking our conscience. He's asking, are you human beings? I'm asking you, Allah says, وَمَا لَكُمْ What is your excuse? It's not even an injunction, do it. It is so obvious that you're supposed to do it that Allah asks. What is your excuse for not doing it? He'll say, أَقَامُ الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةُ Perform prayer, give zakah. He is not saying something like that. Help. He's not asking. He's not saying that. He's asking, evoking our moral conscience, if we have any. What excuse do you have not to stand up for these people? Oppressed people, irrespective of their faith, they happen to be Muslim and Christian in this case. But doesn't matter who it is. Men, women, and children who are oppressed, whose cries, O Allah, save us from this place whose people are oppressors. الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها. Despite the world's betrayal of the Palestinian people, we are witnessing undoubtedly an unparalleled resilience in the face of the most atrocious hostilities witnessed in this century. And we ask ourselves, how could we ever fulfill the role of spearheading? The Muslims are supposed to be spearheading for all humanity. Al-mu'minu man aminahu nas ala dima'ihim wa amwalihim wa anfusihim. A mu'min is one in whom humanity at large finds safety and security regarding their life, their honor, and their property. Forget the Muslims. Humanity at large. How could we fulfill that role of spearheading the efforts of the common welfare of humanity when we are not committed or prepared to be of aid for those who are most vulnerable and brutalized among our own? It is so unbecoming of a person of faith not to stand up against injustice and oppression. And therefore the Rasul warned in a hadith documented in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, إِنَّ النَّاسِ إِذَا رَوَى الظَّالِمِ فَلَمْ يَأْخُذُوا عَلَى يَدَيْهِ أَوْشَكَ أَنْ يَعُمَهُمُ اللَّهِ بِعِقَابِهِ When people witness an oppressor committing oppression and you don't stop him, Allah will punish the oppressor and he'll punish those who allow the oppression to take place. Also remember, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to be neutral. And the Rasul warned, فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ Do as you please. You are free to do what you want. But remember, as you do or as you allow to be done, so will it be done to you. When they come for us sometime, there'll be nobody left. Because Gaza is one thing and Palestine, we all rise above petty differences, most of us at least. And we haven't done anything. You think if we come for South Africa or for Bosnia again or something like that, we will do something? South African Foreign Minister Naledi Pandor rightly called out the glaring double standards by comparing the International Criminal Court and their silence in responding to this open genocide in comparison to their immediate response to the Russian-Ukraine conflict, where the ICC issued an immediate condemnation. Up till now, the ICC hasn't condemned. Adel Khadr, UNICEF Regional Director of the Middle East and North Africa, she says, and I quote, "The killing and maiming of children, attacks on hospitals and schools, and the denial of human access to basic necessities constitute grave violation of people's rights and particularly children's rights. The situation in Gaza is a growing stain. The situation in the Gaza Strip is a growing stain on our collective conscience." It makes us wonder. Every one of us should reflect about the civility of the so-called civilized world. Imam al-Qurtubi in his tafsir al-Jami' al-Ahkam al-Quran writes in reference to a particular verse in Surah Takwir pertaining to an incident where a companion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that before he embraced Islam years ago, it was the custom to bury the daughters alive or to kill the daughter in some way. By the way, note, they justified the burying of the daughter because she was of no economic value in their minds, lacked of physical strength, couldn't do hard work, could bring disgrace to the family if she deviates from behavior. They are inferior to males anyway, so they were less human and therefore disposable. How many parallels are that between that and the Palestinians today? They are disposable. Something inside these brave, generous people was wrong. These Arabs were known to be brave. They were known to be generous. How come, despite their generosity and their nobility and their bravery, they still had this cowardice to be able to bury their own daughters, not other people's daughters, their own daughters alive? And we need to reflect upon this. And this is the issue that should evoke our conscience individually. So he came to the Rasulullah's companion, radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I feel bitter. I feel sad. Though I know I did something in the past, and Allah forgives me for my past because I wasn't guided at that time. I did what people did. But I had a daughter, and I was supposed to bury her. Then when I took her to bury her, I felt hurt. Then I hid it for a while, then I said, okay, I'll do it some other time. Then my wife would dress her nicely, and then I would want to, and I said, no. And eventually I said, no, I'm going to do it. I cannot bury her, but I'll throw her down the well. And he said, I did it very, it was very hard upon me, but it was the custom. It was the norm. So eventually I threw her down, and I remember her calling to me. And as she fell, I could hear her cry until I could hear her voice no more. And he looked at the Prophet, and the Prophet was crying. Tears were running down his cheeks. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Law aaqabtu ahadan bima fa'ala fil jahiliyyah, la aaqabtuk." I swear by Allah, whatever's in the past is in the past, and you have changed. But if I were to punish someone for something they did in the past in jahiliyyah, I would have punished you for this. In other words, it's such a heinous crime that you buried your own daughter alive. Not that you killed an innocent person, which is bad in itself, which in the Quranic tradition and in the Judaic tradition, if you kill one single soul without justification, كَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. It's in the Jewish tradition and in the Islamic tradition. In fact, Allah mentions in the Quran, وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ. We prescribe for the Bani Israel, and Allah repeats that prescription in the Quran. And we have spoken about this the last time. Whoever takes a single life in the estimation of Allah, it is as if you have killed the entire humanity. That's other people's. What about killing your own daughter? So, This verse, وَإِذَا الْمَوْؤُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Imam al-Qurtubi explains this incident and said, on the day of judgment, Allah will make the child who was buried alive ask, and it will be on the collective conscience of people who are present, those who did it and those who witnessed it. She will ask, for what crime was I killed? What answer will we give when we know that over 2,600 children are definitely buried under the rubble? They were not buried by their fathers, but they were buried nonetheless, and we witnessed it. And if that child asks, uncle, for what crime? Usadullah, you give so many lectures. What crime did I kill for, and what did you do about it? What answer will we give to Allah on that day? There was a person by the name of Zayd bin Amir, and deliberately made, bringing these stories to attention of the Sahaba, so we can reflect, introspect. It's okay to blame the Arab rulers and all of that stuff. They've always been sellouts anyway. But to reflect on ourselves and what is happening in our society and what we allow to happen. There was a person, a Sahabi, Zayd bin Amir bin Nufayd, who in the period of Jahiliyyah, the same time when people were burying the daughters alive, when the other Sahabi buried his daughter or threw her down the well, that similar time, there was a man called Amir, Zayd bin Amir bin Nufayd. And he was in that period of Jahiliyyah. He said, man, something is wrong with this thing. How can you bury your daughters alive? So what he would do, he would go to people who were going to bury their daughters alive and say, look, give it to me. I'll take them out of town, keep them safe, grow them up, and marry them in other cultures where, you know, they don't have to be buried. So it means there was a consciousness in the people, despite it being a custom. Because why? In his heart, the fitrah was there. Something is wrong. Because Allah made us. You don't need a religious directive. Religion only guides you further. It gives you the parameters. But within ourselves, we have the innate capacity. وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And each and every self, we have fashioned it in such a way. Each and every self, Muslim or non-Muslim. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And it knows its capacity. It knows the distinction between right and wrong. Society can corrupt us. Ideology can corrupt us. Culture and custom can corrupt us, yes. But innate capacity, you see children when they're small, they're not prejudiced. We make them prejudicial. Children are not born prejudicial. We make them prejudicial. Don't play with that one there. Don't go there. Don't do this. Some of the things are good, we teach them. Some of them are prejudicial. So they grow up not prejudicial, we make them prejudicial. So each and every soul is born with the innate capacity, each soul, each human being, with the capacity to distinguish wrong from right. فَأَلْهَمْهَا فُجُورَا وَتَقْوَى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. Successful are those who keep themselves pure. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Debased are them, those who allow themselves to become corrupted. Now we are in that phase, allowing ourselves to become corrupted. So this, Zayd bin Amir bin Nufayd, he used to negotiate with parents, take the children and bring them up and take care of them. He later became, embraced Islam, and he became a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in his time, how many people were there? These Arabs would feed 100 unknown pilgrims who came to worship the idols at the Kaaba. They would feed them, generous. Come eat by my house. Come, please, you're a pilgrim from other parts of the world, from Syria, Iraq, from wherever they came, from Egypt or Yemen. Come, I'll feed you. So you'll feed people you don't know. That's how generous they were. They would fight to defend you. That's how brave they were. Yet the same people with that bravery and generosity, and in our case, our technology and our advancement and our civilization, yet those same people did not extend that humanity to their own children. How can a man that doesn't know anybody feed 100 people out of his own and then go home and bury his daughter alive? Something is seriously wrong. How did it happen? He's not a bad guy. He's generous. He's brave. And this is the lesson. You see, the killing of those innocent is against the inherent nature, basic nature of a human being. But because it became a practice, it was condoned because it was a practice. And then people got accustomed to it. And then when they got accustomed to it, it was considered acceptable. When it became acceptable, it was incorporated as part of the norm, as part of the custom of that society. And the governmental religious authorities of that time, the governmental, and there are so many of them, boy, governmental religious authorities endorsed this injustice. And it became religiously acceptable. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the height of the bid'ah that the Rasul was talking about. The dua after salah, and we debate about these things. You introduce things which is very foreign to the very common sense of human beings. Not an added dua which you can make before salah, after salah, whether you're making jama'ah, not making jama'ah. That's why we're in this dilemma. We argue about these issues. That is a bid'ah, that they were able to interpret things like this. Ulama this week in Makkah have said, you can't fight Israel because our government got a contract with them. And you, Islamically, mashallah, Islamically, you can't break your contract. Why did you make a contract in the first place? Because you were silent then, and now you throw the Quranic verse. Keep to your contracts. It's true, there's a Quranic verse. Now the Quran becomes relevant. When they were siding with the oppressor, then you didn't. There was no Quranic verse for that. And then we go with it. And a fatwa is passed. People are being arrested now in Makkah for wearing the Palestinian scarf. You know that. We have family relatives of people in Johannesburg who are in Makkah right now who are arrested for purely wearing a scarf. Imam from Turkey was arrested for telling someone something about Gaza, not speaking in public, speaking to someone, and they showed a picture of him talking and arrested in chains until they released him. How can this happen in Makkah? How does it happen in Makkah? Where are the fatawa? We need to ask this. We need to ask this. It became a norm. That is the bid'ah. Inna asdaqul hadithi kitab Allah. The best of speech is the speech of Allah. وَأَحْسَنُ الْهَدِيَ هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ. And said, best guidance is the guidance of Rasulullah. وَالشَّرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. And the worst of things are those things that are introduced into the faith that are not part of the faith. Not your du'as. Rasulullah made du'a, whether you read after salah or not. That's not a major bid'ah. It's because we get caught up in these kind of bid'ah arguments, we can't fight the major bid'ah. وَالشَّرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. The worst of things are those that are interjected into the faith and it becomes a norm. وَكُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Such kind of bid'ah as dalala is misguidance. وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. The poor guy making dua to say, oh, bid'ah, wallah, you can't make this bid'ah. And what, Palestine, oh, wallah, it's a political thing. That is why we're catching the hiding we're catching now. Our focus, our priorities is completely messed up. So, people, not only Muslim, but even non-Muslim, majority of people who are standing up, lawyers and so on in Europe have got together, taking them to the criminal court, to international court. So be very careful in our prejudice. Don't assume that everyone is against the Christians or the Jews, or Christians or the Muslims who are in Gaza. There are people who are voicing their conscience. And perhaps next time I'll speak about that. But we need to look at ourselves very carefully. Look very carefully at ourselves. We need to consider boycotting those products tied to entities that propagate and strengthen these kind of inhuman actions. But please be factual in what you say. Don't just add names to things. We need to appreciate those who may have been involved and they said, look here, we are withdrawing and we're not doing this anymore. Appreciate that. Take them at their, for what they are doing. Appreciate that as well. Consider redefining our purposes of travel, focusing on looking at how we connect with the people we go to and how we may be indirectly empowering those people whom we are visiting. It doesn't mean you can't visit. It doesn't mean you mustn't do your obligation. It's just be very careful how your rands and dollars are being spent to empower those who are enslaving our people, or allowing the enslavement of our people. Check how our money is and are used, even if it be for seemingly religious purposes, because it may go to authorities who do not serve the cause of Islam and the Muslims and the oppressed. You see, whichever way the children are being killed, and I focus on that particular incident, whether by parents burying their daughters, throwing them in a well, or letting them being buried under the rubble. When Allah lets these children ask us a question at the day of Qiyamah, we will have to answer, and for much more. On the whole, the people of the world, the masses, are raising their voices of protest and echoing the calls of conscience, while most leaders of the world are doing nothing. And the Muslim rulers, bar very few, in the Organization of Islamic Conference and in the Arab League Summit who met recently, are seemingly lame ducks all sitting in the row, not realizing their bosses could shoot them the next. International law and global institutions have been exposed as a farce, subservient to economic and political pressures. Truth and justice have been compromised. In fact, our very humanity is being undermined. Many in the world seem to have lost their moral compass. And we have an urgent need among ourselves to raise our level of consciousness in what we do, how we engage, and why we do what we do. You know, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and of course we need to look at the reality, the dilemmas we face, and deal with the practical realities that we are witnessing and facing. I leave you with the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that like the verse of the Quran which says, why don't you get up and fight? And when the girl is asked, or the child asks, why was I buried alive? Or allowed to be buried alive? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in hadith documented in Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna mimma adraka an-nas min kalam an-nubuwah, some of what has reached us from the prophets of the past, it's a continuous message from the prophets, idha lam tastahi fasna' ma shi't. And we're witnessing that from our leadership in the world, and from the Western powers, and from the media. When you have no sense of shame, that's the time you do as you please. But kama tadinu tudan, as you do, so shall you be paid back. Aqulu qawli hadha, واستغفر الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
جزاكم الله خيرا to Sheikh Sa'adullah for that powerful reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability inshallah to make any changes in our lives if we lack that strength inshallah. Allah grant us the strength. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Sheikh Sa'adullah many many more years. In Salt River, the Muhammadiyah Masjid, everyone is welcome inshallah on Palestine, inshallah. That is this coming Sunday morning, inshallah, at the Muhammadiyah Masjid. Everyone is welcome. It will be interactive, and Sheikh will be part of the panel as well, inshallah. Sheikh, maybe will be, but I'm sure Sheikh will be, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.
Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح الصلاة
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
الله أكبر الله أكبر
لا إله إلا الله
الله الله محمد رسول الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها وعن أسئلة يوم القيامة قال الله تعالى وإذا النفوس زوجت وإذا الموؤودة سئلت بأي ذنب قتلت وقال الله تعالى وما لكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا صدق الله العلي العظيم وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه إذا لم تستحي فافعل ما شئت وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم فاصنع ما شئت كما تدين تدان أو كما قال صدقت يا رسول الله أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله أستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا الله أكبر الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهدي ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ورسولنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبي يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فقال الله تعالى مخبرا وآمرا قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات ارفع لهم الدرجات وكفر عنهم السيئات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة الإقامة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حيل الصلاح حيل الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله استقيم ورحمكم الله استوى واعتدلوا الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين وما لكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا وَاجْعَلْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ نَصِيرًا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Allahumma shfi mardana wa rahham mawtana. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وارزقنا واجبرنا واهدنا وعافنا واعف عنا وانصرنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وإليك يعود السلام، فحينا ربنا بالسلام وادخلنا الجنة برحمتك دارك دار السلام. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت وتعظمت وتكرمت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي نبي الرحمة نبي الهدى وعلى أهل بيته وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.